Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Perry Groves.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by Danny Kelly, as always. We talked about the title race. Perry has not lost the faith, as you'll discover. He'll tell you why. But we did look at those three games featuring the top three clubs. Now, they shook
Man
down
City
at the
got
week.
Four away games.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
that's what I'm clinging
and
to.
And I'd love it. I'd love it, he says.
Four away games.
We also were joined by Jarl Wobble, bass player from Public
Very
Image
apt,
Limited.
Considering what happened to Liverpool. And
yeah, a proper
Arsenal
Jarl
yesterday.
Wobble they had at the weekend. So John's brought, he's updated his autobiography. He was on good form. Telling us about tales of driving tube trains.
What to do
that, would you?
And what not to do if something gets thrown onto the track.
That's it. It was. It was like, you are the train driver. And Count Arthur Strong, showbiz legend, popped in to see us as well and finally revealed the football team he supports.
And we went some way to try and first suss out what's between Satsumas and Mandarins.
Yeah. That was the hard-hitting news agenda today. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Perry.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Not a particularly good weekend for either of us, for obvious
reasons.
Well,
yours got a little bit better yesterday, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I did find myself quite torn.
No, you didn't.
Well, no, I did.
No, you didn't.
No, because...
You wanted us to get beat.
Yeah, I wanted you to get beat, but then I'm sitting there thinking, OK, that means now Villa are in the box seat and fifth in Champions League is looking a distant memory because of the way the German teams are playing.
OK, so. Right. So would you take... us winning the title and you coming fourth. I think your hesitation says it all.
I don't even want to contemplate such a thing. So, and who knows, it may... Well, it's interesting. I'm watching the aftermath of the game on Sky yesterday. Your old teammate, Paul Merson, felt it had gone. I don't know now in the cold light of day. He was very emotional in the moment, but I wonder in the cold light of day he still feels that. But what do you think?
I think we've got to be perfect now. Towards the end of the season, so there's no room for any error. I still think that Man City have got a draw. I think there's a draw in there somewhere with their four away games, because I was at the City Ground on Saturday. Nottingham Forest are fighting for their lives. They go there. Fulham are feast or famine. You never know what you're going to get with Fulham. Brighton, that can be like a basketball game. And they go to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, which
they do.
You might have to win that to get yourselves into the Champions League, so this still does us a favour.
This is this other horrific scenario you're going to paint is that if Tottenham beat City, they hand the
or
title.
Draw.
Okay,
yeah,
fair
draw
enough.
Because I say we've got to be perfect, and I was convinced that we'd win it beginning of the season, and I still think we've got a chance of winning it.
Yeah,
and the pressure did show yesterday because we spoke off air. I was doing the show with Sam at Sunday session, and we had the game obviously on the TV screens. And even though there was no commentary and there's no sound, even after 5 minutes in the second half, I said to Sam, our players are nervous. You could tell there was a tension in there, even though it's a weird sixth sense. You know, when you're watching it,
you
could
tell. You didn't sense that from the first half?
No.
You didn't think...
I thought
they
played well first half.
Arsenal, yeah.
No, I thought Odegaard was getting himself on the ball. I actually thought that the passing, the moving, was carried on from the second half against Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
And then there's sliding doors moments. I know we can talk about it later on. If Trossard scores, which he should score, and everybody says it's a brilliant save from Martinez, but he should score where he should be going for the space of the goal rather than hitting it on target, then in nearly every football game, there are sliding doors moments. In there. There's all these what-ifs. You know, it can change the course of the game. It can change the course of confidence and like the tension. And I think we found the pressure of having it in our own hands too much to bear yesterday.
Right.
There's a different pressure when you're chasing. There's less pressure, you know, when you're chasing. So it's like when you, you know, when you see the athletics, when there's like an 800 metre race or 1500 metre race, and then they're coming off the final bend, and there's like an athlete who's 5-6 yards in front.
Yeah.
And the athlete's chasing, it looks like the one who's in front actually running on quicksand, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you know there's a target for you to catch. And I think that weighed heavy on our shoulders yesterday in the second half.
And what of Liverpool? What did you make of that? I mean, because obviously you were sitting here with Sam yesterday on the Sunday edition thinking, oh, blimey, they've let us in now. This is fantastic.
Well, that was added to the pressure of obviously Man City winning on Saturday, then Liverpool getting beat, which no one saw coming. But I think even Liverpool fans would look at that and they think, we kept going to the well and finding water every single... You can't keep going to the well and draining it and finding... Because Liverpool scored more goals than anybody else in the last, like, 15 minutes. They had, I think it's ninth time on the trot, they conceded at Anfield.
Mm.
And so you can't keep doing that. And then Jurgen Klopp said himself in the interview after the game that they've been a half-and-half, literally a half-and-half team.
Yeah.
But they play one decent half, one poor half, but they normally drag themselves out of it. And yesterday, they couldn't. And if you look at the chances that they were missing, they weren't missing, you know, chances from 10, 12 yards. They were missing chances from... six-yard box, one that Nunes should score.
Sure,
Henderson on the knee, goes over the bar. And that's been the story of Liverpool's season and the last three games. Well, I looked at the stats. They had 68 shots in those three games and scored two goals.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? And one lost two, drawn one.
You think they've lost a bit of intensity, don't you? Jurgen Klopp said he was going to leave at the end of the season.
I said at the time when they announced that obviously he was leaving... And the reason that they announced it, it must have been because they knew that someone had leaked the story, because Jurgen Klopp had told the hierarchy that it was his last season. Someone got hold of the story, so that's why they probably wanted to take ownership of that story, because it made no sense to say that you're leaving it in a season. Any job that you do, if you know your boss isn't going to be there, subconsciously you just lose that little bit of intensity. You know, subconsciously you probably don't go to that nth degree to do your job properly.
Yeah.
And Liverpool aren't closing down. If you looked at Eze's goal yesterday, where it's a brilliant goal from Crystal Palace point of view, where
absolutely.
They work it brilliant. But if you look at him when Eze picks the ball up in that inside left position, there's not one Liverpool player within 2 yards of the ball or one of their players, whether it's Tariq Mitchell who's going down the left-hand side or Lerma or obviously Eze. So that's when you look at it and you think something's quite not right there.
Mm.
You know, with that intensity and against Atalanta, they were like herding ferrets, weren't they? That defensively, they made Scamacca look like Erling Haaland.
Yeah.
And I think they had a hangover from the Thursday game against us in the first half against
Jurgen
Palace.
Klopp said that,
without a shadow of a doubt. So I tell you what, if you'd have had yesterday, who would have thought that yesterday the three away teams would all win?
Ackerbusters.
And the home team not score.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why the Premier League is the best league in the world. Because if you're not at it, the top teams are not at it against the middle and bottom teams, they will give you a game and they will draw with you or they will beat you. Do you know what I mean? Because you can't play at 90% in the Premier League in any games, whereas in the other leagues, you can get away with it.
Yeah, because I was going to say to you, as soon as Xavi said he was leaving, Barcelona's results have picked up. Maybe they're glad to see the back of him, I don't know. But they've not lost intensity, but, Thomas Tuchel, we've seen Bayern Munich have had some bad results. You could probably argue that's the same thing. It's a bit of a lame duck situation, but I think in the Premier League it's harder. You can't be off it as much. There are games in the Bundesliga and games in Spain where you don't have to be 100% to win them. Not all of them, but some of them.
But you can be at 85, 90%.
Yeah.
And because you've got better players than the opposition and in La Liga and in the Bundesliga and definitely in Ligue 1, those teams at the middle and bottom of the tables haven't got enough players that can hurt you. You look at, for instance, Crystal Palace yesterday.
Yeah.
Olise comes back in. Eze comes back in. Mateta's playing really well.
Yeah.
Adam Wharton, who's done
great
brilliantly
Bayern,
since coming from Blackburn. Mm. So at Palace, Crystal Palace fans look at that thinking, oh, we've got Olise and Eze back now. We're fine.
Yeah.
We're done. 33 points. And I know the managers say that they don't look at the table. You're like, oh, have a day off, chap. If you're not looking at the table, you're not doing your job because, you know, I don't know if anybody's told you, but it's points that, you know, keep you, like, safe. So Jurgen Klopp said, didn't he? He doesn't really look at it. Ange Postecoglou said,
"Well, yeah, he's not interested in."
He's all about the process and about the philosophy, and don't worry. And he actually said, "Don't worry about the score."
Wow,
right? Because it's about
I was
know,
a touch
belief.
Worried about the score on Saturday.
Well, after the second or third one, did you think? Did he go, "Hey boys, don't worry about the score. Just keep going."
Well, was that's a good Ange you do there? Fantastic.
Cheers, mate.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yesterday on the Sunday session, Sam Matterface was joined by, of course, Perry Groves. And he was reflecting on Liverpool's performance against Palace ahead of the Arsenal game. This is what happened.
Well, Manchester City returned to the top of the table on Saturday. Liverpool had the opportunity to go top and missed it. Curtis Jones missing
Nailed
a big
it.
Chance.
Bottled
Salah.
It.
What?
Bottled it.
What?
That's what. That would have been a level at Arsenal. If Arsenal played that game, it would have been they bottled it.
Hold on a second. That's a little bit forthright and strident from you.
Thanks
just
so much.
Remember, your team are just about to play against Aston Villa.
Well said, Sam. He was absolutely right, Perry, wasn't he?
He doesn't travel, does it, humour? I was being facetious.
Oh, OK, you were joking.
Exactly, I was being ironic.
I'm sure the Liverpool fans found it hilarious.
Yeah,
anyway.
But they'd have known that, do you see?
Yeah.
Because if I wasn't being facetious and ironic, there's no way I'd have put that out before we were playing.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Because, as I said, we were actually... Understandably, we got it as well.
Well, let's bring Danny Kelly in because... good afternoon, Danny. Mrs. Kelly, of course, is an Arsenal fan. So did she have the proverbial cigar on ahead of that game yesterday?
Do you know what? It's very hard for me to tell, Paul. I'll tell you for why. Because my sister came over, who's also Arsenal mad, so they can watch it on the very big telly. And I was banned from my own living room.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they sent me
out.
Would
you have loved that last 10, 15 minutes? You would have loved
not
to
allowed
have
to watch it with them. Not allowed to watch it with them. Sent to the smaller television to watch the game.
Dear.
On the grounds that I would be, you know, a distraction to the two of them. I've got to say, Perry, it's one of my least favourite phrases in football, butlers.
Yes, that's why I was
because,
being facetious.
Yeah, because it's the background to that is if you just tough it out, then you're bound to win. But that says there's no opposition. There are opposition teams, you know, they're allowed to play well, they're allowed to do you in.
And you're allowed to get nervous. Human beings get nervous.
Of course. Much of the conversation has been around Arsenal. We should pay force and praise to Villa, especially in that second half, who were excellent. You know, great individual performance, great collective performance, great coaching performance.
There's the rub. You know, obviously, when Arsenal got Unai Emery through Trans-Europe Express and all that, I knew they were getting a really, really top-class football manager. Now, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. We don't know what's going on at the club, and they let him go very quickly. I can't say whether that was the right decision or wrong decision. But, of course, when Villa get him, what they're getting then is a really good football manager with Premier League experience. Mm. And in the end, of course, and Perry won't like me to say this, what's happened here is that, you know, Unai Emery comes back and he's done his work experience at Arsenal's expense, hasn't he?
You know what's happened, Dan? I had that weird feeling before, and obviously Martinez going back as well, where Arsenal let him go, then, say, Unai Emery going back. And I just had that foreboding feeling. You think, really? Oh, is it going to be one of these games? And you said about Unai Emery, what he did yesterday, really, really... Everybody knows, like Spurs, they play the high line, don't they? So halfway line. When there wasn't any pressure on the ball yesterday, they didn't. Pau Torres and Diego Carlos, they dropped off.
Diego Carlos was fantastic, by the way.
And I'd seen them last week, Dan. This is the beauty of the Premier League and players. I saw Pau Torres and Diego Carlos get the run around by Brentford for 15-20 minutes, where it was like herding ferrets, where they were all over. Yesterday, they were so disciplined and they were so tight defensively, and it was a tactical masterclass by Unai Emery. Sometimes you have to just, you know, doff your cap and say, you got it right, Arteta got it wrong in the second half.
I'd love to get your opinion, Perry. I thought Arsenal picked an astonishingly attacking team. I mean, I want teams to be on the front foot, but they really did pick all their forwards were on the pitch. Zinchenko's more attacking than Kiwior. I thought it was a really attacking team they picked. Perhaps, inviting Villa to hit them on the butt on the break.
Do you know what I think Arteta did, Dan? I think he went a bit old school because it's Bayern Munich. When Zinchenko came on, when Trossard came on, when Jesus came on, they changed the game in the second half where Zinchenko went into midfield. We got a bit more control. So I think it was an old school thing. You three, you're flying at the minute. You're confident, you know, you're top of your game. You're going to play. The thing that I thought Arteta did wrong in his substitutions is I could tell watching it that we'd lost control of the second half, that we were giving the ball away, there was a nervousness. I was amazed he didn't bring Jorginho on. Because
yeah.
what you normally do is you put him on yeah. at the back, and he lends it, and he gets it, and he lends it, and he can just sort of calm everything down. So I was quite surprised he didn't bring him on earlier.
No, great. I mean, we don't need to call Arsenal butlers or anything. We said it was a brilliant victory for Aston Villa, and done without Douglas Luiz, who, with all due respect to Ollie Watkins, has been their best player this season. Amazing result.
We move on then to Liverpool 0, Palace 1. And again, Liverpool had so many chances to get something, but in a great Palace performance, not just a rear guard, because Mateta had two other good chances to score, one cleared off the line by Robinson. It was a great performance by Palace, but you know, Liverpool will rue all those missed chances, Danny.
Professional football is a fantastic tightrope. That's why we pay so much to watch it in the flesh. It's not an exhibition. Both things are true. Liverpool would win that game 9 times out of 10 if it was replayed exactly as yesterday, but the finishing was allowed to be changed. Equally, you can say Crystal Palace, who would lose that game 9 times out of 10, were brilliant. Their defenders put their bodies on the line. Dean Henderson remembers that he's a Manchester United player. you know, when they've got Alisse and Eze, you've mentioned it, Mateta's in good form too.
Yeah.
They can cause any team problems, and that's the joy of the Premier League. I think, Perry, I'm just reiterating what you said. Down to about the bottom 4 or 5, most clubs have got players who, if you're not 100% bang at it, will give you an afternoon to forget. But Liverpool were unlucky there, let's be honest. Although I will say this, in this race for the title, and it's been great there's been three teams in it, Liverpool are the ones who are the outliers here. You know, they've changed 6 of their starting 11 from last year. Yeah. How would you expect to be taking on an Arsenal team that bought in real quality and were close last year, and a Manchester City team that may be the best team in the world? They've done great to get where they are. This was a real slip-up, you know, but they've done very well to keep themselves where they are.
Do you know what, from Liverpool's point of view, they're closed. Everybody knows that they play under mayhem, don't they? They're closing down from the front. They just weren't at it yesterday. And I mentioned earlier, Dan, about Eze's goal, where if you look at that goal, in that passage of play, there's not one Liverpool player that goes to engage the ball or goes to engage a player. So that's the difference.
And they end up in a completely inert triangle, the three of them. You can see it when the goal goes
exactly.
in. They're still looking at each other.
Yeah, and with Palace as well, you said about Eze and Olise. They're great to. I actually like watching as I was on air, but he's one of those players, and at least say that you love to watch if you're a neutral, because the way they drift, their balance is great. But the belief that gives to the other Crystal Palace players, you know, when you've got them in your team sheet, you think, do you know what? We've got half a chance here, and that just raises your game a little bit. We mentioned about Adam Wharton, who I thought was excellent.
Hughes and Wharton really put in a shift. He allowed those guys to play, didn't
exactly.
he? Really, to play with that freedom.
But you wouldn't expect Liverpool to miss that many chances. And Mo Salah hasn't been on it completely. Actually, I've got it now. I know this not just in my head. I know this is actually...
This is the Oscars music telling us to move on. Let's squeeze in Manchester City 5, Luton 1. For an hour after conceding early, Luton did pretty well to keep City out, considering the embarrassment of riches they have on the field and on the bench. But they kind of cracked on about 63 minutes. They rarely get cuffed like that, but it was City at home. And I love the Vardy, this new position he takes up on the edge of the box. And he's discovered this right foot like a traction engine. It's 2 goals in 2 games, almost identical.
Yeah, I mean, look, people are sick of me going on about what a genuine team Luton are, and they really, really are. But let's be fair, City rested some there. They could have... This is not a good thing for the Premier League, but it's a fact. City could rest 11 and still beat Luton at home.
Mm.
They had 37 shots at goal.
Yeah.
Luton were lucky it wasn't 11. You know, they could have lost any number there. I love what Luton have done this year. They've shown heart way beyond what most teams would expect to do, but... And they had injuries too. They've got a whole team out, don't forget.
Yeah, that's true.
One regular centre-back in the team?
Yeah.
You don't need that against Manchester City, do you?
Yeah, marking Doku, we were saying. It was not the greatest job in the world,
I've seen two players being Doku'd this season. Yeah. I saw Max Aarons be Doku'd for Bournemouth when City beat him 6-1. Doku had, I think, 4 assists and 1 goal. And Onya Dimma, who...
He's
not a fullback, number one, and he was on loan at Rotherham.
Not anymore.
No. Exactly. But when you look at that, you're thinking, please, someone go and help him. Please, someone just put someone in front of him. So, I mean, but Jeremy Docker can do that, honestly, to anybody. Yeah. The way that he slaloms, his low centre of gravity.
And if he doesn't, they bring Jack on to do it. This is
just
thing.
When you're tired.
I mean, it is just that depth of it. It's a bit and like that thing of that thing that. That Phil Tufnell said, just when you think you were getting through the Australian batting lineup, you get to 7 and Adam Gilchrist would walk on, you think, oh, my God. It's a bit like that with City, isn't it? You look at the bench, who do they bring off? Somebody who can really hurt you.
These things are all connected, aren't they? You have a choice when you've got Doku. You either get so close or you'll fall far further away from him. This guy chose to go close to him. Where does the space come? The exact space where Guardiola goes into.
Yeah.
You know, these things are all connected on the football pitch. Yeah. I don't think the title race is over, by the way, because, you know, City could win every game. I doubt they will win every game. It may require Arsenal, though, to Bury to win every game from here on in.
Yeah, as I said, there's no room forever. We've got to be perfect. And I think there could be a draw. Just to mention these dispatches for Ross Barkley, because
his goal was a fantastic
goal.
He got lost, didn't
that he? Summed up his season, because he's been outstanding for Luton.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Joining us now in the studio, we've long tried to get into the studio. He's incredibly busy. He strides the world of showbiz like a colossus. He's worked with them all over Lord knows how many years in show business. He's his own radio show, his own TV series, and of course is a stalwart of the British theatre. And he's off on tour later this year, bringing us his Christmas Carol, a one-man extravaganza. It could only be the great Count Arthur Strong. Count Arthur, lovely to see you.
Wonderful to be here, Paul.
Yes, and so you're playing every part, Count Arthur, in A Christmas Carol.
Yes, I am using some ventriloquist dummies as well, because, yes, that's true. Ventriloquism is something I've always had in my shows. I'm very much the Archie Andrews of ventriloquism.
Lovely. It's a beautiful contemporary reference for the listeners.
Do you like refreshing like Archie Andrews? Same sort of thing. You have to restock and refresh during the
Archie
show.
Archie Andrews was a dummy, wasn't he? No, I'm not Archie Andrews. I'm not the dummy.
The ventriloquist.
I'm up there doing all the work.
Yeah. Do you refresh? Yeah. Same.
Pardon?
You're like a little sherbet. You refresh the same.
I have been known to imbibe, but nothing alcoholic, of course.
No,
not during a show.
Seeing you once or twice, Count Arthur, I think I've kind of sensed that maybe you've had a little stiffener at some point during the set, or is that unfair?
Well, have you seen me then? Because I must have walked straight past you.
Yeah. You were on you were definitely on a stage. I was just
I've come to a show. You've seen me in inverted commas.
I'm seeing you out and about.
Medicinal.
Yes, of course. I think a bit of Dutch courage as well, in show business, you kind of expect it.
Glass of stout, glass of Guinness.
In fact, I'm booked on a ferry for a short beer cruise to Liturnike in France. I'm going on the Scouts minibus.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. So, I don't know if you can bring us a sort of small kind of flavour of what we're going to get at Christmas. I mean, I'm just thinking, it's quite hard, isn't it, to switch from the ghost secret. You're going to play Tiny Tim, you're playing everybody.
Everybody.
Wow.
The show starts with me giving my portrayal of Charles Dance, the writer of it. Charles Dickens.
Yeah.
And then in the second half, we move on to my portrayal of Ebenezer Scrooge in The Christmas Carol. Yes, yes. I've written it yet, so you can't really when I say write it.
Yeah,
there's a bit of plagiarism going on. Maybe
you've got Charles Dance's work, Charles Dickens' work to work with, haven't you? To kick off, you got me at it now.
Incidentally, Charles Dance was in an episode of Bums and Dragons I saw on television. Can you say bums on this?
Well, yeah, I think you just have.
You're very progressive and forward thinking.
Yeah, we are.
From
that's
what
right.
I've said on here.
With
yeah, and he got stabbed when he was sat on the toilet by his own son.
Little lad.
What a way to go, though.
It's not the way
by a sword when you're engaged upon one of the most private and delicate moments known to man.
It's very true. Yeah. It is very true.
There's no privacy left in this world at all, is there?
No.
None at all.
None at all.
If that happens, and Charles Dance ticks the ginger box as well, so I'm all for that.
Yeah,
the toilet should be sacrosanct.
Well, absolutely. It should be. I think we come away with nothing else from today. We come away with that. So you're actually on your farewell tour. It's quite interesting. I see you're kind of currently on your farewell tour.
You'll
be back at Christmas. So how does that work out?
Well, it's very much in the manner of Frank Satsuma's farewell tour. Sinatra, Frank Sinatra. I'm saying Satsuma because I found one on the floor in the car on the drive home.
Oh, okay.
Which I might have on the return journey if it's anything to do with you, Paul.
What's the difference between a Satsuma and a Mandarin Have you ever got that? You know, the little orange. Have you? Do you know what the difference is?
You're doing a bit now,
Perry, aren't you?
Guys, guys, let's throw a tangerine and a clementine into the mix.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm with you. What is the difference? Do we know?
3717 22 33 34 Maybe we've got time to put that to the listeners.
It would be interesting, very interesting to see what your sporting listeners think of the tangerine conundrum.
Yeah, well, I think we'll get answers. No, and Blackpool fans especially will like.
Oh, of course,
tangerines, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Can't answer. I've never really heard you talk much about sport. I mean, do you? You're a great showbiz. Did you ever play any showbiz football back in the day?
Oh, yeah, I did. I played for Leeds Playhouse against Sheffield Crucible, but that was years ago. But funnily enough, it must be because I knew what was coming on here. I had a dream about sport last night. I dreamed there was a personal trainer to Elton John. Oh, people. He couldn't find his shorts, so we just sat around and had four or five eclairs each. And then David Furnish stormed in and put an end to that. And then in the dream, my next client was up in the Isle of Skye, out of the Hebrides. And I had to drive up there in a Reliant Robin.
Wow. Yeah.
And somehow I ended up helping them with the lambing. I'm not quite sure what that was, but you know, it's a dream, wasn't it? Oh, and I remember in the pub, somebody said, if you're going up to the Outer Hebrides, I've got this goat you can drop off just north of Glasgow.
Mm.
So I did that as well.
Oh, yeah. It's a great sporting anecdote. It
must have been because I knew I was coming on here and I'd have to talk about sport.
Yes, yeah.
Boxing.
Oh, then, yes.
Boxing.
Did you box as a young man
I used to box. I was a knockout specialist, I was, in the boys' brigade. Yeah.
Was it? Hey, mate.
Literally lining up to knock me out.
Can't you? Couldn't bob and weave? You weren't a bob and weaver. You was a stand and get hitter.
Bob and weave. Yeah, I used to like the Welsh gravedigger Colin Jones. I used to take the punishment and then hopefully I'd come good at the end.
Wow. That takes its toll, Count Arthur. But there's no sign of that at the moment.
Absolutely,
really, of course.
No, I'm still compos mentis.
I can hear that.
Incidentally, I must apologise. I've got picked the wrong glasses up this morning. Well, I was here. I didn't notice till I'd driven down the M25 and got here. When I got out of the car, I realised I couldn't see anything. Still, it didn't seem to affect the journey too much. Although I did hear on the radio, the car radio, that the M25 is closed in both directions because some idiot, if you can believe, was driving the wrong way up it.
Wow, really?
That must have been the same time I was on
doing it. Did you overtake him?
I've no idea. No idea whether I overtook anything or not.
So this is the first time you've taken on. I mean, we've got Sarah Snook in the West End doing a picture of Dorian Gray winning on Olivier's last night. Yeah. So, I mean, this idea of a one-person tour de force playing all the parts. Have you ever done this before with another story?
My current tour, but several of my previous tours also have all been one-man shows.
Oh, yeah.
I do pretty much 2 hours in the current show.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, once I open my mouth, I can't. It's very hard to stop doing.
Do you go off in not tangerines? You go off in tangents when you're
it's
in your one-man
like
show.
I'm possessed by the spirit world.
I thought you'd say something else.
I'm possessed by the spirit world. You know.
You've done some of that in the past, haven't you? You've done a bit of Ouija board. Clairvoyant in the past.
Well, my mother was a medium. It was actually an extra life, but we won't go into that. You know that bit.
He's here all week.
I'm here all week. Well, I'm not here all week. Incidentally, who would I say about getting paid for this? I hope that was a joke in the email.
Yes. Would you just for fun?
No, you must get
We're
paid,
amateurs.
Surely.
Count Arthur does insist. He's got a real sense of his worth. I
appearance
think,
discovered
course, from.
Is
discovered
it?
I'm not like normal people.
I've gathered that exactly. So, would you want the brown envelope, or do you want what do you want? Invoice.
Don't really care. As long as nobody knows.
I think
brown and postal order. We could pay you in luncheon vouchers. I mean,
I have been paid in green shell stamps before today.
Really?
And that was only a fortnight ago. Have you ever tried to cash a book of green shield stamps in these days?
They're huge as well, aren't they? And the stamps are in little as well. They're annoying, aren't they?
It's a full
very
book.
Little.
It's a full book. It's completely full.
Yes.
So I could get, a small hairdryer, portable hairdryer or something with that.
Is there ever a team, a football team you've supported, Count Arthur, over the years?
I still support them.
Okay.
Yes, Leeds United, of course.
Oh, okay.
Everybody thinks I support Doncaster because I was evacuated there during the war.
Mm.
But no, it's Leeds have always been my team. In fact, I could still name the team, the Don Revis team, from one end to the other.
Okay.
Yeah. What? You want me to?
Yeah, if you want
well,
more.
It was Gary Spraker, the goal.
Yeah.
Master of the mistimed dive. How many times did that ball go underneath him?
And the ball under the foot as well, yeah, Gary exactly. Spraker. Yeah. You know when he was in goal when David Harvey was injured, they're like, the other players like, oh no, not Spraker.
Oh, he's a great goalkeeper.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, he's a goalkeeper for Wales.
He was, yeah.
All right. He just missed the ball a couple of times when I saw him.
Careless hands, the cop used to sing to him when he rocked up, didn't they, back in the day?
I remember being behind the goal, and when he came on, everybody was throwing packets of chewing gum at him. I mean, literally hundreds. He was picking them all up and putting them. No wonder he was letting the goals in.
I bet none of them stuck. No chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Leeds United were your team, Ken?
Oh, they were. And I met Paul Reaney.
Yeah. What a player.
Lovely Paul Reaney. He was a very, very... He's a very nice man. Bobby Collins, I met him as well.
Wow.
Terry Cooper, didn't meet him, but what a player Terry Cooper was.
Fantastic. What about that?
So attacking fullback.
Well, he was the original wing-back, wasn't he, to be fair?
Really, yeah.
So you say the show is not yet written, but you say you have got the Dickens's work. I mean, it's not going to stray too much from the original.
Oh,
Christmas Carol.
It's highly factual, and very deeply researched piece of work.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'd just say, Charles Dance, Dickens, should definitely come and see us. They'll find something out they didn't know in the first place.
He's going to want paying, Charles Dickens as well. You do realise that, don't you?
He's
going to want paying. I mean,
my people will sort all that up.
Okay, fair enough. And is there any other sort of great work of sort of literature you'd like to take on in the future?
Who knows? War and Peace, etc.
Yeah, wow, that would be
important. Importance of being earnest? That would suit you, Dan. All those different characters. That would be superb.
I naturally have a posh accent, you see.
Yeah.
I don't know why. People up north can't understand me now.
Yeah.
They can't.
Sorry.
See, you're having trouble now, aren't you? Yeah.
So count on.
You do look as though you've been up an hour or two.
Yeah.
We started at about three.
Believe it or not, we do a bit of preparation.
You never believe it.
You're doing very, very well. If ever one of you wants to take a day off, based on what you've learned of me and my knowledge of sport, I'd be very happy
to pop in. We'll certainly let management know. Hopefully they're listening in this afternoon.
Yep.
It starts Saturday the 9th of November at the Playhouse in Liverpool. Count Arthur Strong, A Christmas Carol 2024. It goes right through December the 8th, two nights at the Bloomsbury Theatre in London. Or you go to Barnard Castle, of course.
Yes,
quite an infamous place.
That's a new one on me, that part.
Yes, that's right.
I think there's someone you might be able to ask, give you directions.
There is a man who knows the area quite well.
Well, I hope I've got my right glasses on this time, otherwise I might not get there.
Was it the M1, is it, that way?
Oh, no.
That's just one long... That's one
you'll
long, hard shoulder, and it'll be fine.
I use a satellite navigation system.
And on another radio station, you're going to hear Count Arthur's inventions. I'm sure the old back catalogue is available to listen to on the iPlayer. That gives you a clue. And his brilliant TV series, I believe, is on Netflix, the two series.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime and BritBox as well.
Oh, brilliant.
Don't forget, I'm only halfway through my current tour.
You are, that's
tour.
Right.
The first leg of my farewell tour, we'll call it, shall we?
Yes, as you said, in the Sinatra envelope. And it's Good Night From Him, it's called, isn't it, the tour?
Yes.
Okay.
Does it make you wonder what the next one might be called?
It's not really a stretch, to be fair, is it?
No.
Well, Count Arthur, it's an absolute pleasure. I've been a big fan of your work for many years, and it's lovely to meet you in the flesh.
Well,
so.
I'm delighted to have been asked. I couldn't believe it, frankly.
No.
The phone went.
Well, we've tried that. He's been a tough booking as Count Arthur, but...
I was in foreign parts when you first approached me.
Well, I know that. You were a tax exile for
much
of
the year.
Was that what you were in, the Touquet?
Yes.
Le Tourniquet, to give it its French pronunciation.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Count Arthur, thank you very much.
Count Arthur Strong,
go and check him out then. On tour currently is Good Night From Him and indeed A Christmas Carol.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
That's Public Image Limited, of course, and the bass player of the original lineup has joined us in the studio now. His autobiography, Dark Luminosity, has been expanded from the original one he published back in 2009. Is Jar Wobble. John, good to see you.
And good, lovely to be here.
Thanks for popping in again. So, yeah. I mean,
this is one of the few things I come and do that impresses anybody, by the way. You're on. Why they got you on? That's what I get.
Well, we'll come on to the football in a minute. Your name, Jar Wobble, was given to you by Sid Vicious, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah. We were very drunk one night before he becomes Sid, before I become Jar Wobble. We couldn't get through a door. We were lagging drunk. He'd been on Newcastle Brown. Unfortunately, he went on the H in life, but that's another story. Couldn't get through the door. And as we were trying to get through the door, like a couple of comic drunks, he says, I'm going to call you Jar Wobble. Would you like to have that? I mean, second name's Waldle. So I said to him, I'm going to keep that name. I remember we couldn't get, we broke in someone else's squat. Later that, it was like, oh, it's just too much to climb up and get through the door, so we broke in someone else's place.
They asked you to join the Sex Pistols when they booed.
No, not me.
Is that
they,
not true?
It was, no, it's not. They never actually asked me. It was talked about, but they were all a bit windy. I was a bit leery back then, so
it wouldn't have been a good fit.
I'd already broken into their studio one night when I was up the West End and couldn't find anywhere, and they were doing a gig. And they come back, and I was up in the loft area there. Funny enough, you know. Wow. But
you used to have mates with John Lydon, obviously, because he went and sort of worked with him after.
Massive gooner.
Yeah, that's right. Like, well, when we first met each other, first was, oh no, you're not Tottenham. I said, oh, you're Arsenal, and then we become mates. Yeah,
you've got to get over that, haven't you?
To be fair, you with Sid Vicious, you did well to remember the night. If you were that bang out of it, you did well to remember that.
That's right. Yeah. I remember thinking, I've got to remember it. And somehow I remembered it. Yeah.
So it's interesting, but you talk about your early life as well. You're from Stepney, which is where Perry's dad was from in East
my
London.
Dad's from Stepney. I'm a bow boy, so I was born in Barts. Right, okay. But we moved out to better ourselves.
How'd you end up at Arsenal?
Went from Colchester and then played in the lower leagues. And then George Graham bought me from Colchester to Arsenal.
He moved from Bow to Suffolk to get an outside toilet,
inside.
Inside toilet, I'm sorry.
I told my two boys, when obviously they're 32 and 34 now, about, you know, you don't, how lucky you are, you're not lucky you're born. So, by the way, we moved to go up a grade to an indoor toilet. And what do you mean? We used to live in a terraced house, but share our outdoor toilet with the next door neighbour.
Right,
people don't realise it used to share cars.
That's right. Well, every house, every old Georgian, crumbling Georgian house at that time had got taken over by the council before they built the flats, and you shared it with other. So all of us shared with other families. We had a Canadian bloke who made a fortune on the stock market in the loft. He used to wee, my mum suspected he weed in the sink, which I thought was totally reasonable. Three floors down to a bog, like at Carsey outside, So I kind of I had sympathy with him, but tons of newspapers, a fire hazard, loads and loads of newspapers in bundles, and apparently could only happen in the East End.
Yeah.
And that house was just round a corner from the synagogue, which was used as a public meeting with Lenin, Stalin and Trotsky planned the Russian Revolution.
Wow,
I kid you not.
Not bad.
If any people think that's nonsense, Google it.
There's a plaque outside, I would hope, for that, yeah. You left music for a while. There, you know, you've worked with lots and lots of different people over the years. Peel were a big band, but you got out the music business, didn't you, for a few years, and when did something completely different?
Oh, it wasn't considered. No, it wasn't like, I think I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
I got into a mess with drink and drugs, which is the tiresome thing minor celebrities do, you know what I mean, do, you know, my drink and drugs hell,
yeah,
you know, and you just become an idiot basically. Yeah. So I ended up, I needed to earn dough, and I got clean and sober, ended up working on the underground, loved it, loved it.
As a driver, you were a train driver.
Yeah, I started out as station staff and then become train crew. I was on a district and pick to start with, and then I went on, did train crew, and then as a guard, you have to learn to drive straight away. So I was up for me motorman's papers, but got back in. And so I only left music literally for a few weeks.
Really?
Because Neville Murray, my old percussionist, come round, got me at it again. So I was doing it part-time, you know,
so
we were playing.
Could you still go out? I mean, you'd have to have a bit of a refresher, but you ever keep your hand in now and again, John? You ever
with
go
a tube? Oh, you look at it, completely digital. We had the Western House brake system. All the old drivers, I know what I'm talking about there, was a backup brake system.
Was that a lever?
Well, you just let the air off. It's why you might remember this. You'd be waiting for the tube are coming in, and then halfway down the platform, grind to a halt. Psh, loads of air coming out.
That, yeah.
That's where they've applied the Western House brake emergency just a little bit too early, which is better than applying it late when you'd overshoot the platform.
Of course.
You didn't want that. Yeah. But it was funny. All the under being in music, touring, doing what I wanted, and then being in the London Underground training school was something else. So you'd get the instructors there took on the mannerisms of British Army sergeant majors and had trick questions. So they'd say to somebody, Brown, you're on the station at the far reaches of the east on the central line. Young lady drops, gorgeous young lady drops her purse on the tracks. What are you going to do? Are you going to be an old tart and call the line control and bother him? Or are you going to jump down and retrieve it?
It's like you are the ref.
So this geezer, poor geezer, would say, I'll jump down and get it. No, you bloody won't if you don't have your guts for garters. So you'd have all this trick questions going on. It was great.
That's a foul, is it?
Yeah, that's a foul.
Going on the track. I'm not a train driver or qualified, but I thought going on the track might be a foul.
Well, you soon find out, though, what happens if you bother the line controller with anything like that, you know. It's like any job. When you get on it, it's another matter.
You came in once with one of your boys, because they've both got the bug. They're both musicians as well, aren't they?
Yeah, when me and Mrs. together. Israel players, me and wife tried to put them off saying, don't be musicians. Look at the fun. What fun this is. Come and see us play. Don't be musicians. Look what a mixed message. They've become players. They're really good players. So they come and tour with me all the time now. They're accepted by my players. They're proper players. Because they've been doing it... John learned at Stockport Percussion Ensemble, and my late father-in-law, he ran Europe's first Chinese youth orchestra. He did that. So they learnt there, and they're good players, proper good players.
So you know what, like with musicians, there's one of my mates' boys, he's got a band, they're called Lowline Sun. I go and watch them live, and I'm like, oh my God, you're out of this world. There's so much young talent and talented musicians. Can you tell, like, your bass player or lead guitarist or a percussionist, well, that someone's got something different? You know, like a footballer. We talk about Aberich Ayres, aren't we? And Lisa, you go, you're talented. You're just above everybody.
The first
else.
Question is just exactly like football. Can he play? That's it. Can he play? Because, you know, there's lots of footballers who can't really play.
Yeah.
You know, you're at a level, but, you know, can he play? And that's the first question. And you it's just something you sense. For me, it's to do with a groove. They just hit
natural.
The groove. It's that. Yeah. It's like watching a football. They're just so comfortable.
Natural timing.
Yeah, natural timing. They ping. You see players just in the warm-up ping a ball in a way somebody who's not a professional footballer couldn't dream of.
Yeah.
You know, and they've just got that ease. So me younger boy's got it. It reminds me of a great drummer called Jackie Liberzay that I played with many years ago. He was a legendary drummer, that guy. And it just sits there, very balanced. So, you know, nice balanced. Not being funny, core slightly engaged, all that caper. So you can then play, so you're like this around your kid.
People don't realise how fit you have to be to dance. Yeah. He's a brilliant drummer. How fit you have to be a drummer.
That's right, yeah.
You just sit there and
He boxes as well.
Right, so boy, body and his core's strong.
So on that little funny punch, I did martial arts. I like boxing, but I was more into martial arts. I like being able to kick people because you can do it longer. You can keep them away from you. Longer distance. You don't, you know, hopefully. But not that I have any fights now apart from with the drummer. No, I'm joking. But so you got that funny punch, but quick hands. You need quick hands. A footballer needs quick feet. Drummers need quick hands. Yeah.
So, how are you feeling about life as a Tottenham fan at the moment? Are you still keeping faith with Ange? You got any doubts?
Oh, it's only Tottenham. This reminds me of the Ardiles era.
Yeah.
You know, And only Tottenham end up with these really naive ideological debates. It's like a sort of bit of like a tin pot country in deepest South America or something. You're not being funny, you know, where you have these basic arguments about economic principles. So at Tottenham, is it good to have all out attack? Yes, on, you know. And it's like a boxer, you know. It's really good to step forward and throw combinations. Well, yeah, fine, but you've got to keep your guard up. Mm. And so I do have issues, but if I'm a member of a WhatsApp group, and if you express those doubts, you're a bad person. You're not keeping
the
faith.
Blocked. You're out.
We need to keep the faith, you know. Yeah. So I think the guy's sort of all right, you know. It was a very exciting first few weeks, but you know, if you're an opposing manager, I think it was Stuart Pearce said at the weekend,
eight year old,
you kind of it's. What I've been sort of saying, it's, you know, if you're an opposing manager, what do you say? Well, they've got this trick, these next opponents, they put their fullbacks as number 10s.
Yeah.
So if you hit it in the channels, you're going to get, it looks like great football, but you've got hectares of space to run into there, you know.
The gaps in midfield, I mean, you saw that against Fulham as well.
You're two Spurs fans, obviously. I actually said that he's probably got a free season. This season,
because it was under Mourinho
and Conte, this is the free season. And if you do end up in the Europa League, and you'll go, okay, I've got a free season. I think his pressure will ramp beginning of next.
That's
season.
Exactly what I've said.
Yeah.
I reckon you'll be looking at early December. For the tin tack, if he gets off to a bad start. But I mean, I remember this. When me younger boy was at Wigan for a good while there, and hey, lovely football, Martinez, but seeing young boys, then, you know, you had to roll the, you know, the ball out. And he had a wonderful coach, Rimmer, who played.
I've
forgotten his second name now. He's a lovely guy, really great. He played for Wigan for years, and he played for Everton for a while. And I think it was at Ipswich. Neil Rimmer.
Oh, Neil Rimmer.
Lovely bloke, Neil. And he just got hold of that team and got insisted on being up, just play football, you know, as well. It's so sort of mad. I remember talking there to another coach, and just saying, oh, well, they don't see me do it. Oh, we haven't done the syllabus yet, the last third.
Right.
You know, so that's the syllabus. So the last third of the pitch was for, it's just, you're taking a natural thing away. So ideologies bother me. It's like, you know, you either have ideological heaven. Look, I'm not political, but it's like Corbyn. Do you go with Corbyn and have a new utopia?
Yeah.
Or do you end up like Venezuela where there's rampant inflation and everything goes wrong? What are you going
to
do?
Well, that's a good comparison of Tottenham. John, lovely to see you. Thanks so much for coming in. Dark Luminosity, Memoirs of a Geezer, the expanded version is out now, Jar Wobbles autobiography. And we'll catch up with you soon. Thanks.
Lovely. Thanks, lads. Smashing seeing you both.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Of course, today marks the 35th anniversary of the Hillsborough disaster where 97 Liverpool supporters lost their lives. They've set a minute's silence in the centre of Liverpool to mark the 35th anniversary of Hillsborough. And Perry, I wanted to get your recollections, because you were playing that day. You played against Newcastle for Arsenal. Of course, you were in a title race. We all know what happened at the end of that season at Anfield, but you'd played Newcastle and won, so you would have been going back into the dressing room and kind of hearing what was happening, because there was obviously no mobile phones then, so it would have been sort of word of mouth and people with transistor radios and stuff, certainly from the fans' point of view.
Yeah, very much so. Which they say we played Newcastle, and then in the old dressing rooms at Highbury, when you walked down the marble halls, so you went past the away team dressing room and then to the home team. And then Pat Rice had like a coach's sort of room on the other side of the corridor, and it had a little TV in there, obviously, where you'd have grandstand on, you know, just for the results coming in. And we'd come in at half time, and, you know, you'd heard something had happened at Hillsborough, but we had no idea. So we just went out and played the game. We won 1-0. And then as we sort of walked back down the corridor, and even before we got into the dressing room, we'd seen the pictures, you know, with the fans coming onto the pitch. I remember seeing a couple of St John's Ambulance people with the stretchers, and you just looked at it and you thought, this is something that, like, we hadn't witnessed before.
Yeah.
And then you just hope that, you know, things aren't going to be as bad as what they look. But then when you hear the reports coming through, and then by obviously the time we'd got home, and then just like watching the news, then you realise the magnitude and the horror of what actually happened.
Mm.
Then you actually think, football doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That, you know, that.
Because you were like saying this title race.
Yeah, it didn't matter. You just put it into all in perspective. It's like, that doesn't matter. And then you actually think, I wonder what's going to happen for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
You know, quite
right. Because I think Arsenal were one of those clubs that decided they didn't want to play.
Yeah, we're not going to play. And then I think, obviously, then the club hierarchy we've been in contact with, at the time it was the Football League.
Yeah.
And then obviously all the chairmen must have met, you know, and decided what they were going to do. Even talking about it now, when you go back to that, it was absolutely like horrific.
Absolutely.
And then your thought just goes out to all the families, you know, and the friends of the people that unfortunately passed away. And, you know, and then you just hear... conflicting, but there was obviously, and it's been well documented now,
that
reports in some of the papers wasn't true, right.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? And and then we obviously, our game against Liverpool was quite rightly postponed, and then that's when we played at the end of the season, May the 26th, and went up to Anfield. And Arsenal were a club, and I've always said that they do things properly. Mm. And act with a lot of class. And before we went to the centre circle, then we all had, all the players had bunches of flowers, which we gave out as a mark of respect to like Liverpool fans. If you say, basically, you know, football, we're united with you. Football isn't that important. Do you know what I mean? There's more and more important things in life that happen.
Sure.
And it was just like, we're all together this with you.
Yeah, 35 years ago today, the anniversary of Hillsborough. It's still hard to believe, isn't it?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon. I'll reconvene with Charlie tomorrow. Perry, thank you very much.
Pleasure's always mine.
And you're back on Sunday with Sam. You're working Saturday, doing a game Saturday?
Yes. On Saturday, I'll be at Bramall Lane, United. Tuesday night, I'll be down at Southampton with a cunning disguise, because I've got to get in there and out without anybody recognising me, because I was a complete waste of money.
And you're there tomorrow. A big game for Southampton.
Huge, exactly. They've got a couple of games in hand, so they'll be hoping, obviously, Russell Martin to get a win just to put pressure on like the top three.
Brilliant.
So it'll be interesting.
Excellent. Cheers, Perry. All the best. So I'll be back with Charlie tomorrow. Stephen Mangan, actor, will be joining us amongst others. Do hope you can join us. If not, podcast available about 4:00.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.